You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
For that, so I hope you've got your Bibles. Who's got a Bible? Oh, yes, we've got a few. That's really good. Any Bibles upstairs there in the circle? Any Bibles? Yep, the one up there, that's good too. Okay, I know it's a bit unusual these days to bring Bibles to church, but it's a good thing to do. Or your phone or your iPad or whatever it is. But so this is the third week we're looking at church, and we're going to continue for another few weeks yet. And I have titled today, The Church Doing the Works of Jesus. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at church, and we've been asking God to help us to understand more clearly what church is all about. And there's the what, there's the who, and there's the why. And the who, I mean, Stu just reminded us, brilliant, what an amazing song. You know, the who of who we are, that we can lift up our heads and with no shame, and just know that God's called us and God's chosen us at this time. But I want us to just look at this scripture again, and I'd like us to stand. Have we got Leonie, the one that we can pray together? We prayed it last week from Ephesians. Is it coming? Just give me a, if it is or not. No, not that one, the next one, please. That's it. Can we stand together? And this is Paul's prayer, which we, it's from Scripture, but I've just personalized it for us. And even today, I just felt it would be good again just to ask God, give us your understanding, give us your revelation of who you are and who you've called us to be. So let's just pray this out together. I ask that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know you better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which you have called me, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. And Lord, we pray that, and we ask you to hear our words, hear our prayers, bring understanding, bring revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So take your seats. So a couple of weeks ago, we explored the meaning of church. And we noticed Jesus chose a secular word to describe this new phenomenon. He could have used religious terminology that the Jews of the day would have been familiar with, but instead he used this word ecclesia, which they would have understood described a gathering of responsible citizens in their city. And then he added these words, and the gates of Hades will not be able to stand against it. It's like he's saying, I'm going to form a team of men and women. And if you're born again, that's you. That includes you. I'm going to form a team of men and women who, as citizens of my kingdom, will be given responsibility for government. And the forces of darkness will not be able to stand against it. Now, we need understanding and revelation, don't we? Isn't that amazing? That's what I believe Jesus was saying. He had in mind something powerful, something formed to rule and govern, something to answer his prayer, your kingdom come, your rule, your government come here on earth as it is in heaven. And then last week we looked at the first part of Jesus' declaration to Peter. And we understood that the basis of being part of Jesus' church was faith and revelation that Jesus really was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, according to Jesus, the church was founded on this rock, this foundation for the ecclesia to be built. And that statement could challenge many so-called Christians. They're happy to consider Jesus on a natural level, a great teacher, a founder of religion, maybe a prophet. And that's what many were saying in Jesus' day. But Peter's very clear, and Jesus totally affirms this statement. And he says, on this basis, on this confession, on this certainty, I'm going to build my church. And I don't believe the church can be strong. I don't believe your lives can be strong or powerful on any other foundation than that which Jesus said. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Paul says, and it's on this foundation that the church is built. And so last week, I made the statement, the greater our understanding and revelation of who Jesus is. It takes revelation. You see, Jesus says to Peter, this hasn't been revealed to you by man. This has come from God, you understanding who I am. We need to ask God for that revelation. The greater our understanding and revelation of who Jesus is, the greater will be our willingness to follow and obey. Because that's what it requires. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And if we understand that, we would understand that our response, our worship is obedience and followership to him and his words. And the greater our willingness to follow and obey will lead to the greater the transformation that we bring to those around us. Because it will be his life working through us. So in looking afresh at the church and how we at LifeSpring need to respond, we need to keep in mind Jesus' purpose for Ecclesia, for the church, which is to disciple nations, to bring transformation, to release and proclaim the kingdom of God with signs following. Bit of a Theresa May here. It's a gospel of words, works, and wonders, just like Jesus did. And I'm really praying that the veil will be lifted from our eyes. Even today in the prayer meeting beforehand, Jamie in particular, but others were praying, Lord, you've called us to so much more than we're currently experiencing. But I believe God wants to release faith as well as insight that we might rise up and say, yes, I'm that person, I'm that people. I've been called, I've been chosen to minister this kingdom to those around us. So today I want to look at the second part of the statement which we read when Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. But first let's look at the scripture. I don't know if we have it, Leonie. Matthew 16, verse 16. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. Let's just paraphrase, bring it up to date, language that you and I maybe understand a little bit more. You're blessed, Peter, son of John. Revelation from heaven has shone into your heart, revealing the truth about me. On this revelation, I will build a ruling council, which will be so powerful, not even the gates of Hades will be able to stand against it. And he was referring to you and me. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to build a ruling council. I'm going to build a people with government and rule. They're going to bind, they're going to loose. And the gates of Hades will not be able to stand against it. That's why we need revelation. Sometimes we think, it can't include me. I'm so messed up. But that's God's plan to include you. Messed up as you are. Like that young lady said, yeah, with all that she's going through, she knows God loves her. Well, messed up as you are, God still wants to use you and use you to be a blessing to the world. The eyes of our heart need to be enlightened to know this calling. Not just church on Sundays, not just formal organized gatherings, but wherever the church gathers, from twos and threes in homes and workplaces to hundreds and thousands in buildings and stadiums, power released to hold back the kingdom of darkness. Both times Jesus mentions church, he talks about binding and loosing, or forbidding and permitting. The church has been given keys of authority. And just to whet your appetite, I've asked Stephen next week to share a little bit on that aspect of the authority which he's given the church, which we have to allow, to permit, but also to forbid. And I've been praying and reading about what these gates of Hades were. And I want to give you three possible scenarios, all which may well have been in Jesus' mind. And all three are about death and the fear of death being defeated. Okay? So imagine behind you it says, death has lost its power. Okay, that's the theme. So first scenario. Jesus was teaching his disciples in Caesarea Philippi. Jackie and I visited that place when we were in Israel. It just so happens that in that city there's an actual cave known as the Gates of Hades. It even had gates in the opening of this cave. Now Hades was the Roman god of death and the underworld, and people were terrified of upsetting this god. And so to placate him, children and virgin daughters were sacrificed to him by the local people. And I just wonder, the fact that Jesus chose this place, did he have this powerful spirit in mind which controlled the population through fear and the fear of the wrath of this god, when he proclaimed something more powerful is going to stand against it? No longer will you have to sacrifice your children. Death and the power of death will be overthrown by the power of the Son of the living God. A powerful message. The gates of Hades will not be able to prevail. Something much more powerful was going to be established, Jesus was saying, which I will build my church, my ecclesia. So first illustration, just maybe the fact that he actually chose that place to say this thing, it would have resonated with those around. They would have known that there was this cave and what happened with regard to the god, the Roman god of death. A local illustration and declaration. But of course Jesus had much more in mind too. So number two scenario. The gates of Hades will not overcome the church. Gates, they guard openings. They keep people in or out. In biblical times, they were the place of authority and rule. It's where the elders of the city would sit and they would administer justice and wisdom. If you wanted to conquer a city, the gates were the most vulnerable, and so they had the most, they were the guarded the most. Because if you could push down the gates, you would be able to enter into the city and conquer. Hades, as I said, is the realm of the dead. And also personified as the god of death, the Roman god of death. It's not hell, although sometimes the translation says hell. There's another word used for hell, Gehenna. But when Jesus refers to the gates of Hades, he would have meant more than that literal cave. He would have had in mind the gateway, the entrance to death. So the realm of the dead. So not just a physical cave in Caesarea Philippi, but Jesus speaking spiritually is saying, I'll build my church and it will not be overcome by the power of death. Life will prevail over death. My church will be eternal. Amen. In Revelation we read, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. This is Revelation 12:11. You've got your Bibles. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Satan and death were defeated on the cross. But here we read, the church also defeated him by using these three weapons. We are called to wield as well, to stand firm against the gates of death and hell. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. If you've heard Pastor Caesar, you'd have heard the blood of the Lamb being taught. By applying the victory Jesus won on the cross, Jesus totally destroyed death on the cross. And we defeat Satan by applying his victory. Just one drop of his blood is powerful to redeem and restore. So Satan and death, yes, applaud him. Satan and death were defeated on the cross. And we apply that the blood of the Lamb in the situations we come against. Number two, our testimony. Wasn't it great to hear a couple of testimonies today? But we overcome by the words of our testimony. That's why it's powerful. Confession is good and powerful. I've heard people say, I'm a bit reluctant to come and testify because whenever I testify, bad things happen to me later on. Well, that's just the enemy trying to destroy and to steal what he's already given you. But we need to testify. God is good. Thank you, Sophie, for singing that so powerfully. He is good, good, oh, and he's good all the time. And that needs to be our testimony, telling what he's done, but also words of faith and life as we speak out and declare the goodness of God. Even when things aren't so good, circumstantially, we declare he's good. Amen, Jesus says. Well, John says we overcome by the words of our testimony. But number three, we overcome when we are unafraid to die. We overcome not loving our lives so much that we're not afraid to die. What a statement. Death has lost its sting. Hades has been defeated. Even if we die, we will live. Resurrection is sure and certain because Jesus went on to destroy the power of death by rising again. I saw a few weeks ago, I think I was watching an Andrew Marr program on history of modern Britain or something, and there were some World War II pictures, and I saw these Japanese kamikaze pilots. Wouldn't have been over here, I don't think. It must have been the American area. And they were so impossible to defend against because these kamikaze pilots were just happy to smash their plane straight into the ships or whatever they were attacking. They weren't afraid of death. Nothing could stop them. They didn't care if they were dying because they had a higher cause in their mind. Of course, the big difference for Jesus' church is even if we die, we'll live. And the gates of death will not prevail against the ecclesia of Jesus. The church has already received eternal life. Hallelujah. That's simple, isn't it? Glorious martyrdom, death. No power against the church Jesus is building. Death has been defeated, lost its sting. Jesus has conquered. Some Christians, they surprise me really, but they want to see persecution. They feel the church would do good with a good dose of persecution. I'm not one of them. But though I think it will come, and maybe it's coming in different ways at the moment. And sure, it will create a purer, more radical, maybe even a more militant church in the right sense. But whatever comes, the Church of Jesus Christ, when firmly established on the revelation of who Jesus is, will prevail. Death will not be able to overcome. I remember traveling through Romania maybe 20 years ago. It was just after communism fell. I've got my dates wrong on that. And we attended churches. And every church we attended was full to capacity. Way before even the meeting started. They weren't like us, you know. I mean, you couldn't get in before it started. And they were already overflowing outside. And more churches were being built. And even as they were building the churches, they were too small for the number of people that wanted to come. And what had happened, they had completely underestimated the size of the persecuted church. This underground church, which was meeting hidden because of the persecution and the troubles which Romania at that time was facing. And it was so enormous. When they eventually were allowed to express their freedom of worship again, the buildings, there weren't enough buildings. And even as they built them, they were too small. Wow, can you imagine that? Death, torture, persecution. It did not prevail against the church in Romania. They stood strong, and there's many other stories we could say about that. But number three, this is the proposition I get particularly excited about. And behind me, you would have had a verse which I wasn't going to read, but it says this, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. We're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what Acts is all about. So Luke, who wrote Acts, he's writing to his friend Theophilus, and he said, well, the first book I wrote, the Gospel, that told you what Jesus began to do and teach. This second book I'm writing to you, Theophilus, is about what he's continued to do and teach. Even though he's gone to heaven, the works of Jesus continue through the church of Jesus Christ. John tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's why he came, to destroy the work of the enemy. We read in Acts 10 verse 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. If we're to do the works of Jesus, and I believe we're called to do that, then his commission becomes ours too. Amen. He came to destroy, or undo actually, literally, the works of the enemy. And in this passage from Acts, we see that he did that by doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Are you with me? John 10 tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief, Satan, according to Jesus, comes to bring death and destruction. He comes to steal goodness, peace, and joy, which is the kingdom of God, and replace it with evil, anxiety, depression. Satan wars against humanity. He's the prince of darkness, the father of lies. God's purpose for each and every one of us was so much higher, so much greater, so much more fulfilling, but through sin and immorality, through vices and addictions, through sickness and poverty, he steals, he kills, and he destroys. Is this not an expression? Could this not be an expression of the gates of Hades? Death and destruction? We see it on every level, ruined lives, appalling conditions for many across the world, dying from famine, sickness, war, slavery, we've been reminded recently, at epidemic levels, even in the West. We could go on our streets locally here, alcoholism, drug addiction, prostitution. I was told many years ago, many of the prostitutes, they're forced into drugs. And then they become addicted on drugs, and then they have to work life on the streets to pay for their addiction. In fact, I heard a comment that if 90% of crime in Reading is drug-related. Just imagine that, if we could deal with drugs and addictions, 90% of crime. That came from a policeman a few years ago. Behind closed doors, isolation, loneliness, and fear, all manifestations of Satan's kingdom. He's our enemy. Don't blame God for the bad things. He's a good, good father. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's good news, though. Jesus goes on to say, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Eternal life. Resurrection life. Abundant life. Just as light is more powerful than darkness, so his life is more powerful than death. Could this be what Jesus had in mind when he said, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades will not stand against it? My church is going to stand against all that Satan intends to steal, kill, and destroy. The gates of Hades will not prevail. Life has come. Power has come. I'm calling out the people from this world to administer my kingdom. Rather than evil, injustice, anxiety, and depression, through the church, the kingdom of God is breaking in, releasing goodness, justice, peace, wholeness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. No more condemnation and judgment. No shame, that comes from the enemy. But the church is rising up and releasing grace, acceptance, and forgiveness, because that's what we've received. We're replacing darkness with light, hope, despair with hope. We're redeeming and restoring. what the enemy has stolen. Doing the works of Jesus by releasing the kingdom of God in our words and actions, we destroy or we undo the work, devil's work of death and destruction. That's our calling, church. And because the church or the ecclesia, because the church doesn't need a building, it doesn't need a service, doesn't need priests, doesn't need all the sacramental sorts of stuff, or just stuff that we do, because of that, wherever this church goes, it can bring in the kingdom. In your workplace, in your schools, in the communities along the streets of Reading. Can you imagine that? The church out there contaminating society with the kingdom of God. Releasing the yeast of the kingdom in the workplace. Not just by what we say, but by what we say and what we do and how we live. And we'll be good news. That's the plan and the purpose of Jesus. We do the works of Jesus by receiving his power and anointing. We go around doing good and healing the oppressed. Jesus was able to do that because he was anointed from heaven. The oppressed, the depressed, the addicted, the demonized, all under the power of the devil. Where there's death, hopelessness, depression and oppression, we offer an alternative. Life, hope, joy and a peace beyond understanding. As we release the kingdom of God. Of course, we've got to be living that ourselves in order to do that. As Steve reminds us, or James, we're blessed to be a blessing, but we've got to receive that ourselves. But as we receive that favor, that blessing, that life from the Lord, and we go from this place, we minister it. It'll just leak out to others. Could Jesus have had such a church in mind when he said, "I'll build my church"? And the gates of Hades will not stand against it. I'm the first to admit we're not there yet. But surely that's what Jesus wants to build among us. And he wants to include every one of us up there as well. I think so. As I look at the church he's founded, that's what I see. I see salvations, I see baptisms, exponential growth, I see healings, miracles, powerful sermons, filling of the Holy Spirit, tongues and prophecy. I read of whole towns and villages getting saved. I see cities turned upside down because people their lives were turned upside down as they repented and they followed Jesus and made him Lord of their lives. I'm reading the book of Acts. That is the continuing the works of what Jesus began to do, the church of Jesus Christ, demonstrating his life. Isn't that an amazing privilege? 24/7, the kingdom of God being released wherever we go, wherever we are, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We stand firm against death and hell and all that it will throw at us. That's our gospel. Good news to all who believe. And we undo or we destroy the works of the devil by proclaiming in words, works, and wonders this glorious gospel of Jesus. And my prayer is that we all begin to see. And not just see, when we see, we will not just understand, we will say, "Lord, that's me too. I can't believe it. I was so messed up. I was this, that, and the other. But I've been called too." Yes, you're absolutely right. You've been called too. Whoever you are, wherever you are, called to be part of his church, totally convinced Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that as we turn to him and make him our Lord, even in all our weaknesses and failings, as we receive his life, it will overflow into our families, workplaces, schools, and universities. What a privilege we have. What an amazing privilege. I will build my church, and the gates of death and Hades and destruction will not be able to stand against it. Amen. 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 Can we have some music, Steve, please? Amen. So We'll be looking at maybe a bit more on who, a bit more on what, a bit more on why. But I want us to understand it includes each one of us who've given their lives to Jesus Christ. And I want to give an opportunity for prayer today. I found it difficult to sing some of the stuff this morning because I felt I needed to sing it with a faith perspective rather than from a reality perspective. Do you understand what I mean? I'm a worker of miracles. I can sing it believing that's what God's called me to be. I'm not experiencing as much of that as I need to be at the moment. Do you get what I'm saying? But and I have this dilemma because I see in the book of Acts or in the Gospels, most of the healings didn't happen in the synagogues or in the church. They wouldn't have happened mostly in the pavilion. Mostly it was out there on the streets and in the homes. And yet there's a sense which I feel, but God, if you want us to take what you're giving us out there, release something to encourage us in here too. And so I want to give an opportunity for anybody that's sick, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to come forward in a moment or two. We've got a ministry team. And we're going to pray. Kingdom of God, come. We've seen healings. We've seen some miracles. But they're like at the lower end of the scale. And I've spoken to pastors and leaders in churches which see many more. And one of the answers as to why they see more is, well, we pray more. Oh, well, that's very simple. Maybe we just need to pray more. So I'm going to give that opportunity. Anybody, sickness, any physical sickness. I really feel emotional. I really feel depression is so anti the kingdom of God. We've got to deal with depression. He wants to bring joy. Any anxiety, so anti the kingdom of God. We've got to bring peace and wholeness into that. You come forward as well. But any sickness, we're going to pray for and believe that God is going to release the kingdom among us. But I also, and in one sense, even more important, if you like, some of you here, you've heard me talk, or maybe it's the first time you've been here. But the church is built on this understanding that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The one who died on the cross, gave his life for us, dealt with sin, dealt with sickness, dealt with death. But the only way we can receive that life is by coming to him and acknowledging that he is who he says he is. And Jesus said, it's on that basis that I'm building my church. And if you want to be part of his church, then you need to come on that basis too. And if there's anybody here at all, I'll give you a moment or two to point this out. If there's anybody here at all that says, well, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to turn away from the old way of life. Make him king, make him Lord of my life. I want to live for him. It may be some of you have said that before and you've decided, well, when I look at my life, I've backslidden. I'm not where I was, but I want to come back again today. I want to say, Lord, I want to make you king again. Then I want to give you opportunity to come forward too. And we want to pray for you. So let's stand together. We'll pray a prayer together, sing a song together, and then there'll be opportunity for us to receive from the Lord. Would you say these words after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this world and dying for me. Thank you on the cross. You paid the price for all my sin, all the wickedness that I've committed. And I come to you and receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, you wipe my slate clean. You take my sin and you make me perfectly holy. And I come to you and make you Lord and King of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might live for you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.